You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home. Tell me where.
Hump day in my house. Good morning to you. Welcome to Wednesday edition. Battlefield Studies Day. Yeah, fired up. You're going to get a chance to meet Dan Hoffman, Second Lieutenant, United States Marine Corps, 1975, Vietnam, our involvement in Vietnam's 3 years in the rearview mirror. They're out training in the northern training area to go on their six-month Mao deployment. So they'll be floating around the Western Pacific. They get pulled out of the field. And within 48 hours, they're fighting on Koh Tang Island. Never fought before. Most of them had thrown one live hand grenade in their life. And they get trucked to come out of the field, get trucked to Kadena Air Force Base. Most everybody knows in the southern part of the island of Okinawa. From there, they fly a pretty good distance. You think Western Pacific, it's all close, right? It's not. So the flight would be, hold on. Let me get my little, path thing. Okay. So there's Okinawa. Click on that. Path. Miles. We'll do miles from Okinawa. And, by the way, you can't overfly Vietnam, so you got to go around. So we'll go around. Got to go around Vietnam. Then you got to go up to Thailand. A distance of 2,600 miles. So about flying coast to coast. So about a 5-hour flight in a jet. So they get on aircraft in Kadena. They fly to an air base right near Pattaya Beach in Thailand, for those of you that have been. I am one of them. They get off there, and they prepare to rescue the crew of the American flag tanker ship or container ship, the SS Mayaguez. I think there was 40 crew members. The United States did not want to see this thing taken by Cambodia, the crew held hostage, paraded on TV, and made to look weak after all that was being heralded around the world about the demise of the United States as we limped out of Vietnam. So, President Ford, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, were looking for an opportunity to show American resolve again. So Koh Tang Island is where they thought the Mayaguez was. The ship was tied off, was anchored in the vicinity of Koh Tang Island, and the crew never was on the island. They were taken to someplace else. And so you'll hear Dan Hoffman's story to include. And again, I would tell you that before I started reading about Koh Tang Island, and it's the Marines from 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines, some from weapons companies, some from the majority of Golf Company, and some of Echo Company, ultimately are on the island. I would have told you that's the op that they left the three Marines behind. And after you read about it, it was a shit show. The only unit that was capable of responding was on Okinawa. It was the closest tactical unit that was available and ready to go fight. We didn't do joint back in the day. And so what helicopters do we have that can fly this? And so from Thailand to Koh Tang Island, it's a 2-hour trip. So yeah. So the only thing that we have that flies that long is capable of air-to-air refueling is the CH-53 at the time. Now, the 53s are owned by the United States Air Force. Okay, so some of the 53s, and you'll hear Dan talk about this, are, I think, called SS-53s. And those are the guys that used to rescue the astronauts, right? Remember when the astronauts would splash down? You'd see the astronauts being hoisted out of the water by helicopters. Yeah, these guys. Combat, insert, extract, probably not. Work with Marines, never. And then the others were search and rescue pilots. So if you were to ask me when I first, started thinking about this, I would have said, yeah, that's where they left the three Marines. The story, though, is the United States going to flex its muscle and show the world that we're still capable. What happens at the core level in terms of commanding this thing, led by Air Force officers, I would say, and the regimental level, led by Air Force officers, is a complete shit show, to include the intelligence reports that higher levels had that said there was somewhere between 100 and 600 trained militiamen with heavy weapons on the island. You'll hear Dan tell you that what the intelligence they got was between 15 and 45 to 50 untrained Cambodians with weapons that would include machine guns, but a Kalashnikov could be considered a machine gun. That's the report they got. And so into that thing they walked, or they flew, and they would be grossly outnumbered on the island, okay, with communications issues, with all of that. So the story turns out it's only the courage and selflessness of these Marines of 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines, the Air Force crews that straight up flew those CH-53s and SS-53s like ballers. Every one of those aircraft, most of them are rendered inoperable. And I think at the end of the op, there's three of them that can still fly. It takes multiple passes to get into the zone, and they don't quit. They stay. And then you have the United States Navy. A little bit different Navy, I think, than we have now. Right? Destroyers coming in 1,000 meters from the water, pumping in the direct fire mode. 176 5-inch rounds into the island, launching their gig, right, that takes the captain to and from shore, launching their gig with a 50 cal on it to go in and support at close range from the water the extracts of the Marines as they shut it down, right, and ran to helicopters. So the story is amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing. You'll get a chance to hear Dan Hoffman today on our fifth installment battlefield study. So, yeah, so very cool, getting to meet Dan. And then, you know, just as big of a story is, you know, him coming back, getting out of the Marine Corps, and then, you know, going back into the civilian world. And then a book is published in the 90s that says that there was 3 Marines left on the island. And they were alive. And with that, he goes into a tailspin. So, and ultimately joining the Marine Corps League saves his life. Winds up checking into the VA and gets the help that he needed, both psychologically and physically. Now a spokesman, encouraging veterans to get their benefits. And so, and we talk about that too. So it's very cool. Very cool. And so, Koh Tang Island. Now, I want to tell you, before we get going here, if you go to the website right now, for those of you that are listening live, or if you're listening recorded, if you click on the map, that talks about today's battlefield study, you'll get taken to a series of slides, right? First one is the timeline. You can, and when you do click on that, you can go ahead and blow those slides up. Yeah. If you blow them up, you can just scroll through them. And so you just get some sense of. And so there's all the maps that you'll want to see. There's pictures of the LZ, pictures of 2-9, on the tarmac. The scheme of maneuver, pictures of OB-10s, the Coral Sea, a gig, what is that? Pictures of the Harold Holt. So, and then what I tried to do is use maps Dan had made, and then I tried to put annotations on it with times that I took from a report that Mark Toll wrote. It's about 54 pages. I know Mark. I met him. And he wrote this as a command and staff requirement, the Marine Corps Command and Staff College. And so I will include Toll's paper in it as well. So it gives you some sense when you look at the map, what happened in what areas and at what time. So, really interesting. Yeah. The USS Wilson, the USS Holt, and the USS Coral Sea all involved very closely, in the fight. But his story it's amazing what they went through that day on that island as they fly in. And from the start, it's a disaster. From the start, as you can imagine, you're expecting 15 to 50 guys. You're going to go there with 200? Yeah. So, you know, what's your anticipation? We're going to get there. We're going to surprise them. This thing will quickly be done because we'll overwhelm them. Well, reality isn't even close to what the picture you've been painted. Not even close. Yeah. So let's just say for the sake of discussion, there's 400 guys on the island. We'll pick a midpoint. There's 400 guys on the island. You're outnumbered 2-1, and they've already dug defensive position. And here's one other thing that I'll throw in just to sweeten the pot. The airborne command and control. So, essentially, the airborne regimental COC can't talk. Doesn't have the right frequencies, didn't go to the confirmation brief, head completely up his ass. And then add to that, they have Pacific Command, right, monitoring the battle and giving orders during the battle, as well as the National Command Authority to include the Secretary of State on another radio giving orders, and requesting information throughout the course of the fight, during the fight. And you'll hear Dan talk about that. So, yeah. So welcome to Wednesday, Battlefield Study Day. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. We'll check out the news coming up. And in about 41 minutes, you will hear from Dan Hoffman, second lieutenant, United States Marine Corps, at the time this happens. And just before we get going, thanks to him for doing this. We recorded it last night. So there you have it. All right. United States Marine Corps band makes today official. Good morning to you. And this little bit of music is dedicated to the Sheriff's Department, the County of Orange in Southern California, who has decided that that being a nation of laws is important, and is attempting to comply with federal requests for information relative to the status of illegal people in the country illegally who've committed crimes. Yeah. So here for the rule of law, you know, who would have thought that would happen? So, and here's to the stunning. Here's to the County of Orange for saying that, yeah, we want to opt out, much like the city of Los Alamitos wants to opt out. We don't want to live in this state where the rules don't matter. And clearly, I will tell you this, in California, the attorney general, he wants to be the next governor of the state. Okay? He wants to be the next governor of the state. So, that's the game that's getting played.
Oh, And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and so our men and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Don't check your 401k this morning.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy. I think, and my own opinion is that it's long overdue, before we get to the weather right here, that there's going to be a reckoning. The day of reckoning is coming for the technical giants of the planet. Okay, and that includes Amazon, that includes Google, it includes Facebook. There's a report yesterday that a techie is testifying that Facebook using tools that I think that were published by the CIA, listens on your phone, listens on your TV. How about that, if that's true? Now, I'm not sure if it is. I guess we'll see. But the UK's, mining some pretty incredible information out of hearings they're having, after their little Facebook event. So, interesting stuff. But again, if you look at the retail landscape, it is tilted incredibly in favor of online commerce. I mean, I think the day to encourage that has come and gone. There might have been a day that we wanted to encourage that sector of the economy. But do we still need to do that? Does the federal government need to continue to forego tax revenue because that commercial activity is taking place online? No, God no. I mean, honestly, Walmart. Alan Jackson sings a song, right? It's called Little Man. I'm sure you've heard it, but if you don't remember it.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows at things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man.
Apothecary.
The little man.
What the hell?
I go back now, the stores are empty, except an old Coke's sign dated 1950. Boarded it up like they never existed. Or renovated and called historic districts. There goes a little man.
Yeah, welcome to the world of Walmart, right? Walmart came in and crushed cities.
Now the court square's just a set of streets. And people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money.
So, stores like Walmart, right, went around the country, and based on big pricing and things like that, they put people out of business. Well, guess what? Somebody's come and doing that to Walmart and to your local, you know, mall, putting it out of business. Okay. So they have a competitive advantage in that they don't have the overhead that goes with all those big box stores. Do they still need to get preferential tax treatment? I don't think so. So I think that that ship has sailed. So I think, and again, quite frankly, it's another source of revenue that would simply level the playing field. Why haven't we done it? I think that's a fairly good question. I don't rightly understand why we haven't done that. I also think that there's this argument that gets made that if you in any way, shape, or form bridle Google or regulate Facebook, that they'll leave the country. And, you know, let me tell you why they can't leave the United States. Because the United States enforces intellectual property rights. Okay, like nobody on the planet does. That's why innovation comes to the United States. Because if you want to monetize it, and you don't want to get it stolen, and then other people using it without any monetary reward, yeah, do it in another country. See what happens. So, United States, home of innovation for because of our legal system. So, I don't buy the argument that you cannot regulate those companies. Okay? And we just saw an example. You know, Arizona rolled out the carpet, a couple years ago, for autonomous testing in their state. Yeah, killed a woman. And, you know, in high definition. You see the images of her in front of the vehicle. You see the images, the oh shit moment of the occupant who's sitting there, you know, doing nothing, half paying attention, and I didn't see any video of the impact itself, but I'm sure it's out there. And it killed a woman in the state of Arizona. Now they've stopped it. So I don't even, to what end do we need driverless vehicles on the road? Look, we don't allow driverless airplanes. So why would we allow driverless semis? What is the point of that? I will tell you the point. The point is to eliminate the cost of labor, one of the single greatest components. So I can eliminate somebody I'm paying $70,000 a year to plus benefits with a machine. I can do that. Yeah, I'm all about it. Who drives it? So, anyway, so interesting stuff coming out of that. And I think my own opinion is it's high time. Level the playing field. All right, check the weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back, check some news headlines. On our way to the top of the hour, 27 minutes, you'll hear from Dan Hoffman as Battlefield Study Wednesday gets going here on All Marine Radio. And this is the first time we really included in the aftermath. What I'll probably wind up doing, because these things tend to take a couple hours to do, if you do it right, what I'll probably wind up doing is bringing most of these guys back on subsequent to this interview to talk about mental health. Because every single one of them has gone through it. Every single one of them has gone through it. And you'll hear Dan talk about how crushing it was when he initially heard, then read, the story that they possibly left three Marines behind, right? And you heard from Ken Rogers when he talked about Kaesong. You heard him talk about the devastating effect on those Marines when a patrol that they called the Ghost Patrol, because of the number of Marines that were killed on it, went out and they couldn't recover their bodies for almost 2 months. That to this day stings them. And the day that they went out on an assault that they called the Payback, that's what was on their mind. You know, but just burned into the psyche of you as a Marine is, we don't leave other Marines behind. You hear that from day one when you stand on the yellow footprints, wherever the hell you stand on. We don't leave other Marines behind. So the fact that they did that, the devastating effect of that. And so you'll hear that. So you'll hear coming up, probably starting next week, you know, battlefield study, mental health. And you'll hear the guys that you've heard talk about these battle studies come back and talk about how did they deal with it, how did their peers deal with it, which I think is interesting. I think the historical kind of look at post-combat-related mental health, at least it's, I think it's very interesting. Very much an oral tradition prior to the last 15 years. Yep. Marines helping each other. And then, I'll never forget, and I found this interesting, you know, that Tom Droughty was on, and he was talking about when the first time he went to Vietnam, I want to say it was 65, and he's a lieutenant, and they're going in to provide security around the Marine Air facility and the port facility in Da Nang. And he said, you know, the guys who fought in World War II and Korea, they didn't sit us down and say, hey, here's some of the things you're going to experience. They just went about their business. I just find that odd that you wouldn't sit guys down and say, all right, boys, let me tell you how it is. Not as an expert, but just trying to get them familiar with some of the sights and sounds, the things that they would see. So I find that a little bit odd. I don't find it a little bit odd. I find it really odd that you wouldn't give other people the benefit of your own knowledge. And I'm sure they didn't do that selfishly. I'm sure probably in a very self-deprecating way they said, you know, who am I? Nobody did that for me. They just told me to pay attention. And that's how I learned. So anyway, so it's interesting to learn, to see how the Marine Corps does this. So with all of that said, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On a Wednesday, Battlefield Study Day, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. I'm a Rihanna fan, just so you know. Beyonce, not so much. I'll read you an email about entitled Mayaguez, Ohio Man. Back in 2010, one of my new crew members named Rusty got the word that I was USMC and approached me with a Semper Fi. Turns out he was on the rescue mission. When he told me, his face got all dark, and he said he didn't like to talk about it. I ran across a Survivors Association online and gave them Rusty's name. They replied that they had been in contact with Rusty, but he had declined to stay in touch with them. He's a damn good guy, but carrying a hell of a burden. Yeah, Ohio Man, you got to get him to reach out. Because let me tell you, The story is amazing. They were set up for absolute positive failure. And honestly, it's only through their courage. And again, the Navy, in my opinion, like the Navy used to be, you know, John Allen, a four-star general type, came on the program and told the story about, I think, his father's destroyer, if I'm not mistaken, closes on the beach at Anzio to stop a German tank company counterattack on the beachhead. Okay, now, in the initial phases of a landing, the biggest threat to the landing, because you don't have tanks, is being counterattacked with armor. Okay? The destroyer closes on the beach, you know, with, I want to say, the commanding officer, or I think General Allen's dad might have been the gunnery officer of the XO, up in the crow's nest, if you will, that observation level, and adjusting fire. That Navy, the USS Wilson, the USS Holt, the USS Coral Sea were part of that Navy. The USS Wilson, again, closes within 1,000 meters of the island, right? 100 and pumps 176 rounds. And they're doing this because they're monitoring the VHF comm. They don't get ordered to. In fact, Dan tells a really funny story. This is how fucked up the regimental COC is, if you will. The Wilson checks in with them on a VHF net, right? And the Air Force guys up there tell the Wilson to orbit at 10,000 feet. Like, we're a ship, bro. We're a ship, bro. What? Oh, my bad. My bad. Yeah, I wondered what that whole USS thing was about. Anyway. So, yeah. So again, the burden that they snatched, what would have been, I would tell you, it would have been worse than the desert, what happened in Desert One, on the, which was the next installment of a joint event. Okay? Marine helicopters, you know, Air Force people, blah, 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 blah. Right? So these two events are the hard lessons learned on the way to creating the Joint Community, JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command, right, and working out the comm bugs. We don't talk to each other bugs. We don't work with each other bugs, to the point that now we integrate with each other freely and relatively easily compared to what these guys go through. So again, shit happens, and leaving Marines behind is not something that you ever want to be a part of. You know, but that's not the story of this island. I think if you ask most people if they've never read about it, they'll tell you, yeah, isn't that where they left the Marines? But if you read, you'll hear about it here in 13 minutes. If you hear about it, what they do that day is mind-blowing. They walk into literally a buzzsaw. So anyway, you'll hear about that. Let me just go over. I wanted to actually review something we talked about yesterday. So at the end of the day, the whole transgender thing. Can transgender people, can they enlist in the military? And I believe the answer to that is yes. All right, so I have this whole thing confused now. Okay, here's what I want. Therefore, in light of the panel's professional military judgment and my own professional judgment, the department should adopt the following policies. Transgender persons with a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria are disqualified from military service except under the following limited circumstances. 1, if they have been stable for 36 consecutive months in their biological sex prior to accession. their biological sex stable in that for 3 years. So that doesn't mean your altered sexual state. That means your biological state. So if you're a surgically modified transgender person, you are disqualified. Two, service members diagnosed with gender dysphoria after entering into service may be retained if they do not require a change of gender and remain deployable within applicable detention standards. So, if you're currently serving and you consider yourself transsexual with gender dysphoria, but you don't require a surgical remedy, you can continue to serve. Three, currently serving service members who have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria since the previous administration's policy took effect and prior to the effective date of this new policy may continue to serve in their preferred gender and receive medically necessary treatment for gender dysphoria. Transgender persons who are required, who require, or who have undergone gender transition are disqualified from military service. And again, that's simply because, right, the psychological issues that that person deals with, and my understanding is that the hormone replacement requirements and the medical attention that person requires are beyond the military's ability to support while keeping them in a deployable status. So nobody gives a shit that you change genders, okay? And then finally, the other exception, transgender persons without a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria who are otherwise qualified for service may serve like all other service members in their biological sex. Okay. So again, it's a question of deployability. Period. And let me tell you, I said yesterday, Mattis relishes these challenges, and he would not, this is just me, he would not do something to be hauled in front of a Senate committee and then have some kind of research shoved up his ass in public and be made a fool out of. He would endeavor to do the right thing because he honestly does believe in the Constitution, the rule of law, and that the Constitution is a serious document to be treated seriously. So anyway, just but I had a couple of emails about, hey, can you go over that again? So if you're surgically modified, you cannot serve in the United States military, which I think is appropriate. And again, serving in the military isn't a right. Okay? People that join the United States military give up all kinds of rights, and you have to meet certain criteria in order to do it. Not everybody can do it. So, anyway. All right, Marine Corps Times News. Closer to the fight, inside the Corps' plan to deploy tech experts alongside grunts. We already do that, okay? Contractors go forward all the time, so I'm not really sure the scope of the article and what, but that's not really a stretch. Another headline, new Vietnam Memorial honoring 5th Marines is on its way to Camp Pendleton. Yeah, my boy Cowell, he blew me off. So I sent him a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot email this morning. Hey, man, where did you go? At some point, you gotta be in cell range. So, trust me, we'll get a hold of him and find out what the hell happened. Sad story. A recruit died from cardiac arrest less than 2 weeks after being shipped to MCRD San Diego. Taken to the hospital in the middle of the night. So, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Secretary of Defense had a few comments about Russia and the poisoning that was administered in the UK. In remarks to reporters at the Pentagon, Mattis said the March 4 attack in Salisbury, England, involved the pretty obvious use of chemical agents. He did not identify the agent beyond calling it a weapon of mass destruction. So the British government says it was Novichok, a military-grade nerve agent. Mattis said Salisbury was the first chemical weapons attack in Europe since World War II and provided a fresh example of Russian misbehavior. Quote, That regrettably by Russia's choice is now a thing of the past. And this is joint training for peacekeeping and other things like that. Russia has chosen to be a strategic competitor, even to the point of reckless activity. And then he called it murder. Okay? That's the only thing it can be called to the innocent people of Salisbury who were exposed and possibly to the extent of being murdered by this stuff. Yeah, they estimate 200 people exposed to this before they could get their hands around it. So, yeah, you know, again, and so why is Vladimir Putin taking Russia down this road of confrontation? And my own opinion is it further integration into Western, you know, representative government and further economic integration risks his kingdom. And so how does he sustain the kingdom? He creates a siege mentality and keeps the West out of Russia. So again, I think it's sad for the Russian people, but it, you know, when you elect a dictator, you get what you get. And Russia, I mean, truth be told, Russia has been kind of an on-your-ass country for a long time. Russia needs capitalism. To reward merit, to show people that there is a link between your hard work and getting ahead. Another interesting story from another guy who doesn't mince his words. And here's the headline is this. General Joseph Dunford, : there are signs of progress in the Afghan war. Now, this report comes amid reports of Russian involvement now with the Taliban, most notably by supplying weapons. Dunford, who just was in Afghanistan, what we're already starting to see, I think, momentum is going to favor the Afghan forces. Dunford told a small group of reporters traveling with him, adding that the deployment of 800 new army trainers, quote, will serve as an accelerant to the Afghans being able to achieve momentum. One thing that gave him hope was a recent Afghan military operation in the east, where the Taliban have long been strong. It delivered, in his words, a eureka moment. Dubbed Salab 1 TAC-23, the Afghan military operation was launched in mid-February in a move to oust the Taliban from a critical 10-kilometer stretch of valley in Langman province. Taliban fighters have used this area as a transit route across the border with Pakistan, where they enjoy safe havens. U.S. Army Major Mark Frogner, the operations advisor for the Afghans' 201st Corps, said the complex mission took 50 days to plan. He said it lasted until March 9th and got fiercer as the Afghans moved up Sangar Valley, as opposed to Sangin Valley. 4 Afghan forces died in the fight. 30 Taliban were killed. But what impressed the Americans was a coordinated battle the Afghans waged, using their own intelligence gathered in part from a Scan Eagle drone they got last September. With guidance from American advisors, Afghan commandos launched the initial assaults supported by Afghan aircraft. The Afghan National Armed Forces followed, clearing the area, and national police units moved in to hold the ground, enabling local political leaders to retake the government. So, that For those of us who have been to Afghanistan, like, what? That sounds like a polished military, which is far from what I saw in Afghanistan. Dunford goes on, quote, if you want to talk about what right looks like from the Afghan security force and the government rolling in behind it, that operation was about textbook, said Dunford. I'm trying to restrain my enthusiasm here, but I'm having trouble because that is the most positive observation that I've had over the last two days. You're kind of eureka. So anyway, Joe Dunford, no stranger to this fight. He's been involved in it since it got going as a regimental commander of the 5th Marine Regiment. And so you'll so and again he's no stranger other to managing expectations as well. So interesting. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, you're gonna hear from we're gonna begin our battlefield study. So if you're just joining us, hold on. All Marine Radio continues here on a Wednesday. Second Lieutenant Dan Hoffman, United States Marine Corps, member of 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines in 1975, will join us next, and don't touch that dial. As I said before, just a programming note, all the maps, all the pictures, and all that, all you got to do is go to the podcast editorials page. You'll see Battlefield Study up there already. If you click on the map that's in that entry, you'll see it'll take you to essentially a PDF file called Koh Tang Island, and you'll see a timeline. You'll see a picture of a good looking picture of Dan as a second lieutenant, and then a recent picture of him, and then you'll see a whole series of maps and and pictures that will help you understand the concept of the operation, the size of the island, and what they did. And they did some incredible stuff. So that coming up next on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.